are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Liz Love to come forward and to share the reading.
This is a reading by Bruce Marshall. God is what gives us life. That's what I mean when I say God, the spirit or force or energy that gives us life. I mean this not in the narrow scientific sense. God is not a chemical process that makes life possible. My grounding, rather, is in experience. It is in the experience of being given life, new life, that I find God. I find God most reliably in relationship. This may be relationship with other people. The connections of friendship give me life, as do occasions when something important is shared between me and another person. I am renewed, given spirit for living. This may be relationship with my deepest self. In the emptiness of quiet or in the environment of safety provided by a person that I trust, I find the me that exists below the layers that have accumulated over the years. When I find that self that exists within, I am given life. This may be relationship with the earth, with the world, with the swirl of life all around me. I am given life as I explore a mountain trail, as I work with others towards making ours a better community, as I enter the excitement of a good Sunday at church. There is life all around me, and when I am in relationship with that, I am renewed. I find God. This may be relationship with the mystery that seems to me at the centre of existence. Sometimes I catch glimpses of that, an image that tells me something of what is external, what is eternal and unending, being drawn towards something or someone, even though I don't understand why or where it will lead. In the context of mystery, the voice of God speaks, and I am given new life. God, the force that gives us life, does not necessarily follow the rules, the guidelines, the standards we humans so painstakingly create. The voice of God is surprising and insistent and takes us in directions we would not otherwise choose. We plead with Moses, why now? Why me? But the question is before us, will I choose what gives me life, given the uncertainties and dangers that exposes me to, or will I settle? Whenever I find myself at that question, will I choose life, then I know I have encountered God.
Thank you.
So we're going to start the sermon this morning by singing a song together. And the words are very simple. They are, "Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must, clap, be a God somewhere." Now, I know some of you are going to want to sing, "There might be a God somewhere." And others of you are going to want to sing, "Of course there's no God, there's only scientifically and rationally provable phenomena somewhere." A, that doesn't scan. B, this is a song, people. It's not a creedal statement. And there are two conditions. First of all, you have to sing it with enthusiasm. None of this Unitarian lip-syncing nonsense. And the second is, you have to do this. All right? I will allow you to remain seated. All right? Margaret will play us, it's a very simple tune, all right? And the second verse is, "Over my head I hear laughter in the air." Are you with me? All right. Poor Margaret had no forewarning about this, so. All right. "Over my head, I hear music in the air." Do you have any idea how many old school Adelaide Unitarians are turning over in their graves right now? To them, I apologize. I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a woman a while ago, and she was an active member of her local Church of England congregation, and she was quizzing me about Unitarianism. Anyway, she was asking me who we are, where do we come from, what are we all about, the usual stuff. Sometimes I think my life would have been so much easier if, as a young woman, my mother had not discovered the Unitarian Church in Wakefield during the ministry of George Hale, and I could have then been a Methodist and an accountant. Instant conversation killers, both. But no, oh, you're a minister, a Unitarian minister. What's that? And so you have to try to explain to people, most of them kindly, well-meaning folk, that what is important to us, what binds us together, is not what we believe in common, but what we love in common. So there I was, trying my best to explain all of this to this good, intelligent, faithful person, when I could see that this like dark frown of concern descended over her face. And she looked at me and she said, "But you do believe in God, don't you?" You know, I've been a Unitarian all of my years, a minister for most of them. I have letters after my name showing that I've studied philosophy and theology and probably therefore I'm not entirely ignorant on the subject. And yet I never know how to answer that question. And frankly, I'm not even sure I know what the question means. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in God? And the question is usually asked as if the only answer could be a simple yes or no. And my answer would put me into one camp or another, as if were my answer yes, well then obviously it's okay that I'm a minister in a church. But if my answer is no, are you some kind of imposter, fraud? But I don't know what the question means. I really don't. And I especially don't know what it means when I'm asked by the sort of person who has not darkened a church's door for ages, perhaps not since their pet hamster died, but who, for reasons best known to themselves, somehow wants to justify themselves. Often with a statement like, well, you know, I believe in God, obviously, but, you know, I don't need to go to church. I worship God in my own way. Oh, and which way might that be, I wonder? In bed with a latte and the Sunday papers? Watching the game on TV? At the mall or some other cathedral of consumerism? And sometimes, if I'm feeling mischievous, I'll reply, oh, really, how interesting. You believe in God and don't go to church, and I go to church and don't believe in God. So let's try to unpack it a little. Do I believe in God? Does the question mean, do I believe that there is a being which exists in some separate time-space reality and that that being is God, like Zeus on Mount Olympus? And from that separate time-space reality, this God observes the world, observes me, responds to the world, makes things happen. Once decided that things down here had got so messy that he sent his son. Where that son came from is a puzzle we'll leave to one side for now. Sent this son to earth to sort things out in a sacrificial way. Do I believe that there is such a being that exists? No, I don't. I understand that that is the God that some people do believe exists, but I don't. I also understand why and how such a belief came into being in a pre-scientific age. It made sense in a pre-scientific age when God or gods were in charge of everything and made sense of everything that were otherwise beyond our human comprehension, and that they lived just over the horizon somewhere. The God of modern thought doesn't live on Mount Olympus, as did Zeus, but in the sky. Yet no amount of air travel or space exploration has been able to locate exactly where. When I was in my very first ministry, a small town on the outskirts of Manchester, I set myself a project for Lent. I set myself the task of reading the book, Does God Exist? By the Swiss theologian Hans Küng. This was a 600-page doorstopper, pretty dense theology. And in it, Kung, himself a Catholic, but barely clinging on by his fingernails without getting kicked out for his heretical views, Kung examines the history of God and all of the arguments about God's existence, the ontological, the teleological, the cosmological, and other such fancy-sounding multisyllabic words. And he finally comes to the conclusion that it makes no sense at all to talk about God existing. Why? Because the term existence can be used only with reference to something that is real, something in time and space. This lectern exists, but love does not exist, says Kung. Neither does beauty exist, or truth, or goodness, or kindness. They are concepts which we experience in life, but they do not exist. The reality is our experience, not that which we do experience. And neither, says Kung, does God exist unless you warp the meaning of the term exist to such an extent that it ceases to have meaning. You know, I read that book and it really made me admire Kung. Nothing makes me admire somebody else's intelligence so much that as they should come to the same conclusion as me. So, do I believe that there is a being called God, that God exists? No, I don't. I'm not even agnostic about it. Don't even want to place an each-way bet on it. I'm willing to say with absolute categorical assurance there is no God. There, I've said it, and I don't care who knows it. But I am not an atheist. I refuse to be called an atheist. I don't like the word atheist. Because you see, when asked, do you believe in God? The short answer is no. See above. But the longer and more interesting and so much more important answer is yes. Because believing in God is not a rational thing. It's not about believing that something is the case, an intellectual proposition which is verifiably true. Do I believe that the sun will rise in the east tomorrow morning? Well, yes, I do. And if you and I get up early enough tomorrow morning, we can see whether that belief has been verified. There are other beliefs which are not verifiable in the same way, but are matters of personal judgment and prejudice. Do I believe that cannabis should be decriminalized? Well, I have an opinion about that. No doubt you do too. Perhaps your opinion is different from mine. Who is right? Who can say? There are arguments for all camps. But God is not like that. God is not an either-or. We can never know for sure whether or not God exists. And in any case, who cares if such a God exists? I don't. But do I believe in God? Yes, with all my being. I want to conduct a quick straw poll here. Hands up, those of you who believe in Santa Claus. Come on, don't be shy. Well, here's the thing. I do. Now, do I believe that there is a jolly fat man in a red suit and sporting a fluffy white beard who every Christmas Eve kisses Mrs. Claus goodbye at their cozy home at the North Pole, boards his sleigh behind eight reindeer and whizzes around the world, going down every chimney, snacking on cookies and milk in every household, leaving not only presents under the tree for those children, only those children who have been well behaved during the year, but also having time to leave little appreciative notes for the hospitality? Well, actually, no, I don't. I do remember the Christmas when I learned the awful truth, but I was 43 years old at the time. But do I believe in Santa Claus? You bet your boots I do. Am I away with the fairies? Do I deserve the dripping contempt of the likes of Richard Dawkins and the other strident militant atheists for my infantile naivete? Perhaps. Perhaps also you know about this letter written by a mother to her questioning daughter. No, it's not Dear Virginia. It's Dear Lucy. Dear Lucy, thank you for your letter. You asked a very good question. Are you Santa? I know you've wanted the answer to this question for a long time, and I've had to give it careful thought to know just what to say. The answer is no, I'm not Santa. There is no one Santa. I am the person who fills your stockings with presents, though. I also choose and wrap the presents under the tree the same way my mum did for me and the same way her mum did for her. And yes, Dad helps too. I imagine you will someday do this for your children. And I know you will love seeing them run down the Christmas magic stairs on Christmas morning. You will love seeing them sit under the tree, their small faces lit with Christmas lights. This won't make you Santa, though. Santa is bigger than any person, and his work has gone on longer than any of us have lived. What he does is simple, but it is powerful. He teaches children how to have belief in something that they can't see or touch. It's a big job. It's an important job. Throughout your life, you will need this capacity to believe in yourself, in your friends, in your talents, in your family. You'll also need to believe in things you can't measure or even hold in your hand. And here I'm talking about love, that great power that will light your life from the inside out, even during the darkest, coldest moments. Santa is a teacher, and I have been his student, and now you know the secret of how he gets down all those chimneys on Christmas Eve. He has help from all the people whose hearts he's filled with joy. With full hearts, people like Daddy and me take our turns helping Santa do a job that would otherwise be impossible. So no, I'm not Santa. Santa is love and magic and hope and happiness, and I'm on his team. And now you are too. I'm 66 years old and I believe in Santa. That Santa. I want to be on his team. Some people say, you know, you really shouldn't encourage children to believe in Santa. It's a lie, these people say. And when they find out that you've been lying to them, well, they'll just never trust you again. Well, you know what? The best things I know and experience in this world are not facts, they're not hard truths, and they are not things that exist. The best things I know and experience in this world can't be pinned down and analyzed, put under a microscope, given neat definitions. The best things in life are beyond being proven like some mathematical formula. Because the best things I know and experience are about wonder and awe and reverence and mystery and love. And I want to be in a world infused with miracle and wonder. I want to be in a world in which story and legend are how we convey one generation to the next. What is most important? Was I lying to my children when I helped them put the cookies and milk on the mantelpiece? Was I lying to them as I wrote them a note of thanks in a disguised hand, as I scattered the half-eaten carrots on the snow by the front door? Or was I teaching them, helping to teach them that a sense of awe is a most precious gift, which we as adults lose to our peril? I want to tell you another story from my first ministry in this small town on the outskirts of Manchester. And extraordinarily, there's someone here this morning who is from that congregation. Where is she? There she is. Unbelievable. Anyway, it's my first ministry. I'd been a minister for maybe 6 months, and I was told of a woman who was dying in the hospital. And this woman had been peripheral to the life of the congregation at best. Would I go to visit her? So I did. I rode my bicycle to the hospital. It was a raw February day, and I went from the cold outside into the overheated ward to spend some time with this woman I'd never met before. The inevitable happened, from exercising in the cold weather to this overstuffed, overheated hospital ward. I started to fall asleep. And two thoughts were running through my head as I sat beside this woman's bed. How can I stay awake? And how long do I have to stay here before it's okay for me to leave? Let me stress, I was not dispensing theological wisdom or pastoral expertise. I was sleepy, I was bored, I was impatient to be gone. And when I finally made to leave, this woman grabbed my hand, looked me in the eye and said, "When you are with me, I feel the presence of God." Now, one of the joys of Unitarianism is that we cover this huge theological spectrum, from the ultra-rational humanist to the extreme woo-woo, and all places in between. Whatever you might happen to believe theologically is absolutely irrelevant to the fact that you can make someone else feel the presence of God by your love, by your care, by your attention, by your kindness. Whatever you might believe, you can be a messenger of that God in ways that you will never perhaps know and certainly will not be able to explain. So I believe in God. I believe in all that that simple three-letter word evokes, denotes, but more importantly, connotes. I believe in that which transcends the littleness of my fleeting life. I believe in the connection I experience with all that is, that the word God is a poetic but ever inadequate shorthand way of expressing. I believe in God not as a separate being out there, but because I want the divine, the mysterious, the wonderful to be an intrinsic part of what it means for me and for you to be human. Dag Hammarskjöld wrote, "God does not die when we cease to believe. We die when we cease to have our lives filled with wonder and awe." So I want to be on God's team. Why? Because it makes my life worth the living. Because though I am mortal, it makes me part of that which is eternal. Because though I am finite, it connects me to the infinite. Because though I see a world that is broken and bruised, it reassures me with a constant vision of what yet might be. Because though I am tempted and seduced by all of life's distractions, because it's so easy for me to fall short of my own best aspirations, believing in God aligns me in a true direction as a magnet aligns iron filings. Do I believe that God exists? No, I don't. Do you? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. But do I believe in God and all that God means in this marvelous, magical, mysterious world? Oh yes, I most certainly do. I hope you do too. Amen. I invite you to take the hands of those to either side. So may the courage of the early morning's dawning and the strength of the eternal hills and the peace of the evening's ending and the love of all that is true and good and beautiful be in our hearts and govern our lives today and all days. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.